everybody, Cal Banyan here. Guess what? You know what? It's Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. If you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now, because right below this video, right down there, you know what we have? We have more texts that support, add value, more links, more graphics, makes it all around a better, I don't know, learning experience for you. And I am with Meredith Locker, one of, I have two co-hosts, and she's one of my favorite ones. That's right. And not my, I can't pick favorites, you know, but let me tell you something. We have a lot of fun whenever Meredith comes to the office to do these podcasts, because she is smart. She is fun. She's beautiful. She has a master's degree. She really cares about other people. And she's a hypno one percenter. If I had a friend or family member in LA that could benefit from hypnosis services, and gosh, who around the world wouldn't benefit? I kind of got accused of picking on Los Angeles last time, but everyone around the world would benefit. That's why they fly in from around the world to see Meredith at her office. How are you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing great, Cal. It's so good to be here, and I'm excited. We're counting down to the top. Well, we're going to cover the top, but the 200th episode. We're almost there. Can you believe it?
Is this like 198?
This is 198.
I'm so excited.
I am too. It's really great. And for the first time ever, we are going to do the 200th episode, all three of us, with Elron and with me and with you. And it's going to be like a big, happy podcast family. How do you like that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, if the technology holds up, we'll get her done.
Exactly. Otherwise, we'll just each sit on one of your knees and do it on one camera.
Hey, that would be awesome. And then the secret would be out. If I had like Elron on one side and I had you on the other side, everybody would know for sure that actually I'm a ventriloquist. And I've got the Meredith doll and I have the Elron doll. And you can get yours, ladies and gentlemen, for $59.95.
Shh, don't tell anybody. The secret is indeed out. Well, this is really fun. This is a continuation podcast, but first, before we get into the fantastic foo nitty gritty, I want to make sure you guys understand who Cal is. Cal Banyan is my mentor. He has trained the top 1% in the profession. He, at one time, was working in the field of psychology as a master's in psychology, and then he thankfully came into the field of hypnosis, and he created 5-PATH, the advanced process of hypnotherapy that I use with every client. He brought to us 7th PATH, the self-hypnosis that I teach to practically every client. And gosh, he's just, he does more than most people I know, and I am proud to call him my mentor and certainly my co-host. So thank you, Cal.
Well, you make me proud. Let me get a commercial here for the National Guild of Hypnotists, Solid Gold Weekend. And by the way, they don't pay me nothing for talking about this. I just want to tell you guys, first time in Anaheim, California, they've got the National Guild of Hypnotists convention over on the East Coast. And now we've got the Solid Gold Weekend out here on the West Coast. It's always been in Nevada, but now it's in California. And why am I doing so much of this, talking about it? One, I know you're going to benefit from it. Two, I want to keep it out here in California. Show up. We're going to have a good time. Go to ngh.net to find out more about it. And also, you can call their office at 603-429-9438. Go there. And one of the best things is it's not just sitting there and listening to all these hypno-brainiacs tell you all this cool stuff, but it's the after, when we get together and we talk and we visit and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, you 5-PATHers and 7-PATHers, you know, stay on the forums, because we're trying to set up some special little activities that we can do together. And, you know, we'll keep in touch about that so that we can have a good time before, during, and after the Solid Gold Weekend. All right, Meredith, what you got for us?
Great. Well, if you haven't watched the last few episodes, please go ahead and watch those now because you are going to want the basis of what we're talking about today before watching this episode. And so it's episode 195, 196, 197, and then this one is 198. And we may even fill up another podcast with forgiveness of others talk. And so just a lot of exciting stuff that we've never covered on these podcasts before. Happy to bring this information to you. Please keep your comments and your feedback and your questions coming. We love it. I am collecting what if questions to bring a new series to you. So definitely get those to me, Meredith at yourpathhypnosis.com, or post them on the Ask Cal group on ourhypnospace.com. But I'm going to get right into the questions because we still have a lot to cover and not a lot of time to cover it. And so we're talking about forgiveness of others today. And so this is a question that I've seen posted a few times on some of our groups. And, you know, I've even kind of wondered about this myself. How do you decide how many people to coach the client through forgiving before you move into auto forgiveness, which is when you kind of let them silently put different people in their lives into the chair and forgive them too? And so how many offenders, if you will, are they going to, are we going to work through before we go there? How do you decide that, Cal?
You know, there used to be a misperception about this. People would think that, oh, if there were three people involved in the age regression that made them mad, then you have to put all three in the chair. And that's not true. That's not the determining factor. The determining factor is you do the forgiveness with either the one person that hurt them more than anyone else, if you're working with a too much behavior, or the person that's associated with the cause of the problem as revealed in the age regression. Okay, that's who you put into the round room and have them forgive. And that's it. Unless you think, gosh, you know, I don't know if they really could do this on their own. Because in the auto forgiveness, and again, I believe this is a technique that was developed by Jerry Keim, because he's the one that, as far as I know, is the one that really started integrating forgiveness into the hypnotherapy process. Now, even though the chair technique is more of a Fritz Perls kind of thing, but I digress. What we want to do is, how many people do you have the client face-to-face in that round room, chair-to-chair, forgive? Well, it's based on how many people do they need to forgive before they can do it on their own. Because, as Meredith mentioned, auto-forgiveness, that's where you just have them put one person after the other that they really need to forgive, and they do it on their own, in the privacy of their own mind, at the speed of thought. So, for example, a lot of you have got my 5-Path program, or 5-Path 2.0, and in the older program, you watch me work with Gada. Now, Gada, she, in my opinion at the time, and I stand by that opinion now, but I was under the impression that after we forgave the first person, that she wasn't ready to do auto-forgiveness. She really needed a lot of coaching to get that done. So then I had her put the next person that really hurt her more than anyone else in the chair and coached her through that forgiveness process. And then at that point, I had the confidence that she could do it on her own. And then I just had her put everyone that's ever hurt her in any real significant way in that chair, move on to the next one, the next one, and the next one. And so that's the answer to that one.
Yeah, so just to be clear, you don't have them put everyone that ever hurt them into the chair at the same time in their mind.
No, that would look, that'd be a very full chair.
Yeah, not many chairs would handle that. So it's a matter of taking all those people and one by one going through it and really setting themselves free from that pain, that anger.
Exactly. And here's a hint. If you've done the forgiveness with one particular person, with the person, coached them through it, and you know of another person from the age regression that's really important, but you think they can do it on their own, then, for example, if they were really mad at Dad, them, I'm going to have to say, now I want you to put everyone that's ever hurt you in any significant way in that chair. It could be family members. It could be friends or people who you thought they were friends, but they let you down, or people you worked with, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever it is. Everyone that's ever hurt you in any really significant way. Do whatever needs to be done. Say whatever needs to be said. Get that forgiveness done and move on to the next one. And it begins with mom. See, if I coached her through dad, but I knew that she was also angry at mom, then I'll say, and you begin with, and I'll name that other significant person that I want them to not overlook. Now, here's another thing. Once in a while, when you haven't put the person in the chair to do the forgiveness, they'll want to put themselves in the chair. Whoa, can't let that happen, because that happens in the next phase. So, but we can't also tell our clients what they... We don't want to criticize them, because when you criticize clients, that makes them feel not so confident. And when you lower the confidence, you really lower the effective of the hypnosis work you're doing. So if they volunteer to go in the other chair themselves, I will say, brilliant. That's so good. Take a number. We'll get to you. Now who else goes into that chair? Because when we're doing forgiveness of others, we want to stick with forgiveness of others. Good. Anything else you want to add there, Meredith?
Yeah, so what happens if, you know, you do that, you've coached them through, and then they've done auto-forgiveness, and you wrap up the session, and they go home, and then they come back in, and, you know, they've been irritable, or they just point-blank say, you know, I'm still kind of angry at so-and-so. Then what would you do?
I'd say, beautiful. I know exactly what to do. And then what I would do, then surprise a lot of people, put them back into hypnosis, and I would regress them to a time before they came into the office where they were still angering at this person. And then I would do age regression, because you should always start with the age regression on this insight work, take them back, and then do whatever needs to be done in the age regression work. As I said in the previous episodes, that what are we going to do? We're going to go back there. It's a reality check. We want to validate anger that's based in reality. And then we also want to neutralize anger that's not. Then, either in the next session or if there's time in that session, we take them back to the round room with the benefit of the insights that they've received by doing the informed child work in the age regression. We will then do the forgiveness work with that individual. Now, also, I will make a little note in their file. I wonder if there's secondary gain here. Because sometimes people will want to hold on to the anger because there's some benefit in it. So we'll get the forgiveness done. If there's secondary gain issues, then the work we did in the age regression and the forgiveness of others won't last. So what do? We move on to forgiveness of self. And then if the anger comes back, well, now we've got a good case for doing phase 5, which is parts mediation therapy or parts mediation work. And we will go ahead and get them to finish that forgiveness process by doing the mediation work with that part of them that wants to still continue to anger at that individual. Oh, that was a good one.
That was really good. Because, you know, I bet you a lot of people think, gosh, they're still angry. I need to move, you know, do more foo. But, you know, I think that it probably surprises a lot of people to hear that, you got to do some age regression, then move into foo. And for those of you that have kind of gotten into the habit of really separating these out by session, especially if you kind of do shorter sessions, you know, it's good to know that, you know, these pieces can kind of be fluid and be worked in throughout all around. You know, Cal does these double sessions, these long sessions, and he often flows straight from age regression into foo and maybe even then into FOSS. And so, you know, as they come back with this anger and you do some age regression on it and, you know, validate the anger or the feelings that are based in reality and then neutralize the ones that are not and, you know, move then straight into foo, it just doesn't have to be separated by separate sessions.
Absolutely. And as we've been talking about the Bolsom CDs, the Banyan Online Supervision Meetings, the very first one, Volume 1, is Scrambled 5-Path. And I talk in there about how to flow back and forth between these different phases and not being so stuck to one phase or per session and that kind of mentality that sometimes happens.
Great. I think I'm ready to move on to another question.
All right, good.
You ready?
Yep.
So, this was posted a little while back. What if I'm working with someone for anger? It's an actual anger management client. Do I start with foo first?
Of course. I mean, after all, your client has told you the cause of the problem, right? Yes, we never listen to our clients, shall we say, belief in what the cause of the problem is, because they're almost always wrong. And as a matter of fact, the whole idea of anger management is almost the antithesis to what we do in 5-PATH. What we want to do is we're going to, gosh, why would, you know, if you start doing, okay, why is Cal saying don't listen to your client? Because you'd say, well, who are you having anger management problems with? Oh, my ex-husband makes me so angry, or my girlfriend makes me angry, or my mother's driving me crazy. And you'll think, okay, I'm going to put those people in the round room. But the problem with that is you're letting your client, their ignorance about the cause of the problem, direct your sessions. Don't do it. What you want to do is say, beautiful, I know exactly what to do. Phase one, preparation, testing, and convincing. Get your hopeful somnambulistic client, which is the goal of phase one. Then move into what? AR. And we're going to follow that feeling back. And as we do, we uncover the subsequent sensitizing events and the perhaps symptom-producing event, and definitely the ISE, the initial sensitizing event. And as we do this, we find out the individuals who populate that timeline that have made that individual angry over a period of time. We get an idea of who was like the most, who's causing the most anger. And we also find out who was associated with the cause of the anger. So it's only in with that background and that information are we able to go into the forgiveness process fully enlightened, fully capable of deciding who should be worked on. And again, who goes into the big chair? Well, let's see. This is anger management. So what they're saying is I'm getting angry a lot, or I'm getting too angry for situations. I might ask them, well, how are you managing your anger? And if we find out that one of the ways that they manage their anger is through a too much behavior, eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, gambling too much, pornography too much, whatever it is too much, then I'm going to put the one person in their life who, what, hurt them more than anyone else, caused them the most pain. But I'm also, if they're not really having a too much behavior and it's just this explosive anger kind of situation, then I'm going to put the person associated with the cause of the problem, the anger as revealed by the age regression. And then also, like we just talked about, how many people do we put in that chair and forgive? Well, it kind of depends. If I coach them through the first one, do they really get it? Now do I believe, now that I know all the different characters and people who populate that timeline of their life, do I believe that they can forgive not only that person who's associated with the ISE, but perhaps the one person that hurt them more than anyone else? So I may have to coach them through one person or two people before I put them into the auto-forgiveness mode. How's that?
Great. Perfect.
You want to add anything to that?
No, because you covered it perfectly. I couldn't possibly add another thing.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, so you already touched on this a little bit. I'm kind of moving on to something else, but touched on this a little bit, but I think we can get into a little bit more detail here as we have a little more specific question about the idea of maybe doing FOSS before doing foo. So maybe doing forgiveness of self before doing foo. And so this was posted a little while ago. I have a weight loss client who I just finished forgiveness of others with. She's been doing well and lost 3 pounds this week. She felt good after last session, which was age regression. But after today, after foo, she left feeling very sad. She wasn't sure if she fully forgave mom because she felt there was some stuff left. Wondering if that something is guilt and should we go on to FOSS and get back to mom later? Any thoughts?
Yes, I want you to explain to them the difference between guilt and sadness.
Well, guilt is when you feel like you've done something wrong to someone else. Sadness is when you feel like you've lost something.
Uh-huh. So, with that in mind, which is exactly correct, if the person goes away feeling sad, that person needs to be educated about the secret language of feeling so that they know the difference between sadness and guilt or sadness and depression. People get these confused. So if that individual went away feeling sad, I would be wondering, who or what did she lose? Or maybe she just became aware of a sadness that she wasn't aware of because of the anger is a wall, right? And when there's that wall up, you can't feel the feelings of others. And maybe she lost the parent, but because she was angry, she never felt that loss. And now that we did the forgiveness, we tore down that wall. Now she's aware of the sadness of having lost that other individual in their life or the relationship. And so sadness really has to do not with forgiveness of others, or forgiveness of self. If that is too much sadness, and go ahead and give her a week to kind of let it percolate and maybe just be felt for a while so that it can kind of dissipate. But if it continues after that, we're back to AR, and we're going to follow that feeling back, and we're either going to validate that sadness, or we, because all feelings are good when they're based in reality, or we're going to neutralize it if it is coming from a misperception. So they come back next week, and you say, how's it been going? And they say, oh, gosh, I'm still feeling really sad. And I might say, well, who or what did you lose? I don't know. That's okay. I know exactly what to do. Put them in the chair, hypnotize them, do the age regression on the sadness, and you'll find out where that's coming from. Again, if it's based in reality, you leave it. If it's not based in reality, then you neutralize it. Okay? But people say, why would you leave sadness? Well, sadness is good if it's based in reality. It's there to motivate you to do the sometimes difficult things you need to do to either get back or replace the person or thing that you lost. And a greater wisdom than I decided that you should be sad when you have lost someone or something important to you. So we just don't go around neutralizing it. How's that?
Great. And so, you know, what you can also do in that moment of validating it, you can also, at some point in time, and there are various places in the age regression you can do this, you can ask the grown-up, you know, gosh, this sadness is there for a reason. And, you know, now it's you that's in charge of taking care of little one. What is it that you think that you could do to help little one to feel less sad in your now situation? What kinds of choices can you make now to make sure that this kind of sadness doesn't continue? Does that make any sense to you, Cal?
Yeah, and the way I would do that is I would do a little education with the grown-up aspect first, mm-hmm. to make sure they know that the sadness is good and it's there to motivate them to do the sometimes difficult things they need to do to get back or replace. So that when they inform them, they just don't, because you see, the grown-up often just isn't very good at this emotional stuff unless you do some coaching. And they might say something that implies that they should not feel that way and that kind of thing. And as you were talking, you made me think of another thing also. And that is sometimes the sadness is there and it's vestigial. I mean, it's about something of the past, but it's still there. What they need to do is to cry that cry. For one reason or another, in the environment they were in, they were unable or unwilling to let it out. And so sometimes they just need to fully express that sadness and to let it pass through them. And that would be the satisfying response in that event.
Yeah, because the energy, you know, emotion is energy, and the energy is kind of living in them as, you know, kind of a pocket within them that needs to then be expressed and moved through. And sometimes the only way to do that is to express it. It's not as much about coming to some sort of insight about it. Great. Well, we are not done. We have more to cover on foo. So we are going to do one more segment today. And, the cat is out of the bag again, Cal. We're just not very good at keeping these secrets. You know, we film usually 4 podcasts at a time, but today we're going to film 5 because we're gearing up for the 200th. And we want to go ahead and next time we film, start with Elron and Cal and myself and go right into the 200th episode. So definitely keep tuning in. This is Meredith Locker. Send me your what-if questions, your comments, your feedback, any other questions at all. Meredith at yourpathhypnosis.com. And I'm signing off.
Thank you very much, Meredith, and hanging in there for a fifth recording that we're going to do and have out to you next week. Should go out on, I don't know, I got my calendar over here. On November 27th should be, if everything goes right, the 99th. And then December 3rd should be the 200th episode with all three of us together. Ho, ho, ho. Hey, Cal Banyan, go to hypnosiscenter.com. And there I have my schedule. Or you can look right over there on calbanyan.com. And we also have, from time to time, have specials right over there. And also, it's awful good to have you guys signing in every week, checking it out. Tell your hypno friends about us. That's it. I've babbled enough. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.